Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To understand today's gospel of Jesus' encounter with that Canaanite woman, we're going to skip to the end of the story first, so that we can then go back and see Jesus' purpose in his dealings with this Canaanite woman. How does the story end? It ends with mercy and salvation. And it ends with an extremely rare word of praise from Jesus spoken to this woman. O woman, great is your faith. You know how many times in Scripture it refers to the faith of anyone as being great? 2 times. Twice, between Genesis and Revelation, 2 times, both in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and both of them significantly spoken to Gentile believers with great faith. St. Matthew is the only one to mention this woman. Luke mentions the Roman centurion also, who came to Jesus, or sent to Jesus to help his servant, and said, "Just say the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed." So, great faith. So what? Even a tiny faith placed in Jesus will save still. If you have faith as a mustard seed, Jesus said, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. If you die with a tiny bit of faith in Jesus, relying on Jesus alone, you still die clothed completely in Jesus, counted worthy of eternal life because of him. But who in their Christian mind strives to have as tiny a faith in Christ as possible? What Christian ever made it his or her goal to trust as little as possible in Jesus? We don't think that way. Believers don't think that way. Let me just trust as little as possible. Instead, Jesus nourishes faith with his word and sacraments. And Jesus himself gives us this gospel to make our faith bud and flourish and grow. So we certainly will not sit back and stubbornly, foolishly, and arrogantly say, "I'm satisfied with the tiny faith. Don't give me any more." Instead, we listen to Jesus as he grows our faith with his word. We listen to Jesus and see how it turns out for this woman with great faith, who clings to Jesus in faith, in spite of how it looked for a while. See how highly praised, see how greatly rewarded and blessed she is. So, great faith, what's it look like? It looks, first of all, like this Canaanite woman, one of the most cursed races of men in the Old Testament scripture, the Canaanites. Isn't it something that Jesus shows us what great faith looks like by using an example of a Canaanite woman? He shows us that pedigree and lineage and nationality don't matter a bit before God. Faith in Christ is what matters, because Christ became the most cursed man in human history in order to rescue those who were under the curse of sin and the law. And it's through faith in him that we enter his blessedness. It was faith in Christ that prompted this Canaanite woman to come to Jesus in the first place, although she didn't have to go very far. It says that Jesus went out from the land of Israel and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, Canaanite lands. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But when he did that, he didn't go forcing himself on people and grabbing them by the neck and shaking them and saying, "Believe in me, believe in me." He simply went and made himself available in that region where his word had already gone out and his spirit had already worked, at least in the heart of this woman, so that having heard the word about Jesus, she knew immediately she could trust him. She believed in him. How do we know that? Because she goes immediately when he comes into her territory and seeks him out and confesses to know him better than practically anyone in the land of Israel did. "Lord, Son of David," she calls him. That's a confession of faith. Son of David, a reference to the Christ, the Messiah. And not only does she believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of David, she believes that he has come to help both Gentiles and Jews. She believes that he'll show mercy to her. So she calls out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Such is the great power of the Word of God. The simple word that went out to this woman about Jesus and absolutely convinced her both of who Jesus was, what he came to do, and that she was included in his plan of salvation. So she pleads for Jesus' help and mercy for her dear daughter who was severely demon-possessed. The devil and his dark forces had entered her home and were afflicting her daughter somehow. The power of evil was in her home. It doesn't get much more serious than that. What power did she have? What power do any of us have against the devil, against the demons? She brought her trouble to Jesus, who alone is powerful over the demons. But notice what she didn't bring with her. She didn't bring any money to bribe him or to pay him. She didn't bring a long laundry list of reasons why she deserves his help, of how good she is, what she's done for other people, what she's done for God, how often she prays. She didn't bring him any works of her own. She brought him nothing but her need. Works don't count before God. Your deeds, past or future, don't count. But seeking free mercy and favor from Jesus because of who he is, the gracious Lord and Christ, the Son of David, that counts. That's faith. Well, it doesn't mean that works don't count for believers who have been forgiven by God and received his salvation. You heard Paul in the epistle today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 saying, "This is God's will for you, his people, your sanctification, that you love one another, that you love your neighbor." Yeah, that's God's will for his Christians, but that's not what counts for righteousness in God's sight. Only Jesus' righteousness counts for that, and faith which grasps his righteousness. Now, this woman's faith was tested by Jesus in our gospel. She came crying out for help, but at first it says that Jesus answered her not a word. Again, going to the end of the story, knowing how the story ends, we know that Jesus did this to highlight the great faith of this woman. Because it's a tiny faith that only trusts in Jesus when he answers immediately. It's a tiny faith that trusts only in how outwardly nice and friendly Jesus appears to be. But it's a great faith that trusts Jesus enough to wait for his help. It's a great faith that sees past the appearance of outward indifference on his part to the merciful, loving heart of Christ. Now, the woman's faith, as we know, was great. She kept crying out to Jesus for help, even though he wasn't answering her. Then his disciples spoke up, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." Literally, dismiss her. Were the disciples pleading with Jesus to dismiss her with his blessing and help so that she could go on her way? Or were they pleading for Jesus to send her away and get rid of her? From Jesus' answer, it seems that they were pleading for her. And that's a lot like what Christians often do, always do for others, especially when we see others, Christians, children of God, suffering and not receiving help from God immediately. We intercede for them too. We call out for God to help them and to answer their cries for help. That's a good thing. We cry out for him to remember. On today, Reminiscere Sunday, as we said in the introit and again in the tract. But Jesus' answer, again, shows his wisdom, his time, whether we're crying out for ourselves or for others. His answer, again, makes it sound like he doesn't want to help this particular woman. He answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, knowing how this story ends, we have to come back to these words of Jesus and wonder what he meant by this, because he can't lie, and he can't deceive, and he can't be wrong. And if he says he was only sent by his Father to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, then he cannot deviate from his Father's mission that he gave him. He can't decide, you know what, God sent me for this, but I'm going to do that. He can't do that. He says he was sent for this. And yet by giving her divine help at the end of the story and praising her great faith, he most certainly demonstrates that he was in fact sent to this woman who was not from the house of Israel. Or was she? That's really the question, isn't it? Who are the lost sheep of the house of Israel? I mentioned earlier that only St. Matthew records this encounter with Jesus and this Canaanite woman. Now, St. Matthew was the gospel writer to the Jews, more than the others. Matthew has more prophecies from the Old Testament proving to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ than any other gospel writer. He wrote like a Jew. He wrote to the Jews. And the Jews generally thought of themselves as the people of God, based on their lineage and their descendants from Jacob, from Israel. But here again, in this encounter between Jesus and the Canaanite woman, just as in the encounter with the Roman centurion, Jesus, through Matthew, demonstrates to the Jews directly who the true house of Israel is. Not those who can trace their ancestry back to Jacob, but those who believe in Jesus as the Christ, as this woman did. In fact, it's through the gospel that the Holy Spirit invites people from all nations into the house of Israel, so that all people may enter through faith in Christ. That's the lesson here. And it's bigger than this Canaanite woman. It's bigger than Jesus' disciples. It's for the Jews and also for the Gentiles and all of us, so that we may know what the house of Israel is and how it has been opened to all people by the blood of Christ shed on the cross, and that we may know Christ as the door to the house of Israel and faith as our entrance into him. The Canaanite woman still saw that door, saw that it was wide open to her. Jesus hadn't sent her away, hadn't told her that she was not one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, nor had he in any way dismissed her. So she bowed down before Jesus and said, "Lord, help me." And one final test for her faith. Jesus answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now, if there had been any sinful pride in this woman, her pride would have been offended by this statement. If she had no faith, she would have perceived Jesus' words as her final defeat and slunk away in despair. No one loves me, no one cares, no one will help, not even Jesus. But we know how the story ends. Her sinful pride has already been brought low, and her faith in Jesus has already been kindled. She sees the door to Israel wide open to her, and she steps through it. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And she was not disappointed. On the contrary, she was highly rewarded and praised by the Son of God. O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Her faith was tested, but this is why it was called great. The testing of her faith, as the testing of a piece of pure gold, reveals, well, pure gold. All the impurities, like pride, like carnal security, like despair and doubt, had already been removed by the Holy Spirit, so that what was left in this woman was a simple, humble trust in Jesus, that she, a poor sinner, would receive mercy from the Son of David, not because of her worthiness, but because of Jesus' greatness. That's what great faith looks like. An unshakable trust in Jesus' greatness, especially his greatness in earning and bestowing the forgiveness of sins. May the word and the body and the blood of Jesus continually work such faith in your hearts, so that not only today, but tomorrow and until the end of your earthly story, you learn more and more to rely on God's mercy ever and only in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.